Good afternoon to everyone, and a very happy Sabbath. It seems like quite a while. Does it seem like that to you? Hopefully I haven't become a stranger in this place. But it's good to see you, as I'm being spread a little thinner. Hence, my appearances may not be as frequent as they have been formerly. But I am delighted to be here in Watford Town. Amen. Amen. Well, I am delighted, and I am glad that I can see you, that we can worship together, that we can fellowship in the name of the Lord. Here. We are delighted for that privilege. Well, of course, our time is far spent, and so I'm going to try to gallop here as best as I can. We can get through this message here today. As you are, or many of you are aware, from the last presentation I made, the sermon title was Mistaken Identity. Mistaken Identity. And what were we talking about there in that message? Essentially, it is this. Where it is quite easy for us to mistake the Holy Spirit for who? And you see, this is the thing here. It is easy to mistake the working of the Holy Spirit for another spirit. Vice versa. Sometimes the working of the satanic spirit can be attributed to the working of the Holy Spirit. And how can we tell the difference? You see, this is why today what we want to do is to look at a series here entitled Hallmarks of the Holy Spirit. There are hallmarks. Hallmarks. Because not everything that is called the moving of the Spirit is the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not everything. We have to be able to identify the difference. Otherwise, in these times in which we are living and in times that are to come towards the end, there are going to be further confusions. And unless we understand the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be swept away. So we want to look at this subject here today. Hallmark number one, he will do what? Guide you into how much? All truth. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father, speak to our hearts once again. Glorify your name, we pray. And may the truth of your word strengthen and encourage our hearts. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is a hallmark? What is a hallmark? Now, a hallmark is defined as an official mark or stamp indicating a standard of purity. What did I say? A standard of purity that is used in marking gold and silver articles. That's tested by goldsmiths. It says here, the Goldsmiths Company of London. A hallmark is a plate mark. It's a plate mark. or a mark of special indication of genuineness or good quality. It is a distinguishing feature or a characteristic, a hallmark. Now, hallmarks are very important. And according to Minar Jewelers, by using a hallmark, the exact purity of an item's precious metal can be clarified and confirmed. And why? So that customers can be safe in the knowledge that they are buying, or what they are buying, is genuine and legitimate. A hallmark. A story is told of a gentleman who went online searching for a leather office chair that he found the price to be expensive in the stores. So he went online. To his absolute surprise, he found the very same item for much less. And I'm saying much less. He said to himself, I'm onto a bargain here. The chair was advertised as genuine fox leather. Genuine fox leather. So without hesitation, he immediately ordered it. In disbelief that he had saved so much money for an item that was genuine fox leather. He did not know what type of leather fox leather was, but he didn't care. It was genuine fox leather. Now, when it was finally delivered, he opened the box with great enthusiasm, looking forward to the smell of leather that would greet his nostrils. But there was no smell of leather. So he looked for the leather sign on the chair, but there was none. It looked like leather, though it didn't have the leather smell. So he said to himself, what kind of leather is fox leather anyway? So he went online and he typed in FAUX and discovered that it is a French word pronounced faux, which means false. He really thought he had landed a bargain, when in fact it was a genuine fake. We live in an age of increasing deception. There are, unfortunately, people out there who are trying to take advantage of you and me and to pull the wool over our eyes, to tell us half-truths in order to lead us where they want. Deception is everywhere. It is a deadly pandemic with an extremely high infection rate. Deception is such a serious matter that it was the very first thing that Jesus warned his disciples about in Matthew 24. Take heed, Jesus said, that no one deceives you. Take heed, Jesus says, pay close attention, be on high alert, take notice, take care, be attentive. You know, the Bible is also replete with counsel regarding another form of deception. And that is self-deception. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Isaiah 44 verse 20 says, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. Galatians 3, 6 and verse 3 says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, untruths and half-truths affect every aspect of our lives. It is in politics, isn't it? It is in what we hear on the news. It is taught in the circles of education. We find it in what is promoted and defined as healthy. We find it on advertisements via billboards, television sets, or pop up on computer or smartphone screens. It is found in the teaching of human philosophy and human reasoning, and the many brands also of religion that are out there, brandishing their various tenets, all claiming that they are the source of truth. But Jesus' first words of counsel and warning to the disciples, again I say, found in verse 4 of Matthew 24, is take heed that no one deceives you. There are many liars out there, smooth talkers, manipulators and schemers. And it is important that we are extremely careful to watch out for these things and not to be deceived or to be self-deceived. The Bible tells us that many will come in my name saying that I am Christ and will deceive how many? Many. And some of us already know of those who have styled themselves as Jesus and have led many hundreds to their deaths with false teachings. One thing that I want to look at that is very important for us to consider is what it says in Matthew 24 and verse 5. The Bible says here, many will come in my what? Name. And I want us to look at this, in my name. And what does this mean, in my name? You see, when we look at this word, in my name, we are talking here about Christ's character. He is good. He is honest. He is true. He is meek. He is gentle and he is sincere. This is what comprises the name of God. And those who deceive will come in what appears to be all honesty, all truth, all goodness, all sincerity, but cleverly hiding the false. That is why, my brothers and sisters, I am thankful that we have the Holy Spirit in our world today. For he is the Spirit of truth and will guide us into how much? All truth. And the Holy Spirit of God can only speak the truth. One thing we know about the Holy Spirit of God, he is not a liar. He is not a deceiver. And the Bible in Hebrews 6 verse 18, speaking of God, says, by two immutable things, that's Hebrews 6 18, in which it is impossible for God to do what? To lie. Then when we look at another version, the New Century Version, it says, these two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he makes a promise, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. Then in another version, it says, God cannot tell lies. And so his promises and vows are two things that can never be changed. Then when we look at Titus 2 verse 1 and 2, it tells us there in the last sentence, and God cannot lie. So there is one thing that we can rest our lives upon, and that is the Holy Spirit. And you know, the desire of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is that you and I come to know what is truth. In answer to the question of Thomas, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus responded and said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when Jesus stood before Pilate, he answered, John 18 and verse 37, you say rightly that I am king. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate's response is the response of disdain that echoes throughout time. What is truth? In this pluralistic age of reason, this postmodern secular society, the biggest, most widespread and deadly deception out there is truth is not absolute. Truth is relative. You have your truth. I have my truth. Therefore, don't impose upon me your truth. What I believe is my truth. What you believe is your truth. And if you try to impose on me, you are abusing me. That is the condition of our world today. It is relativism. And if we don't love the truth, my brothers and sisters, because there is the truth, And if we don't love the truth, we are set up to accept a genuine fake. The Bible warns in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 and 10, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, with all unrighteous deception, among those who perish. So, why among those who perish? It is because the Bible says they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. So people will be lost that could have been saved because all that they sought to do in their life is to refuse the love of the truth, to accept it. And as a result of that, they then accept the genuine fake. We must pray and ask the Lord to give us a love of the truth. You see, my brothers and sisters, we don't naturally have it in our hearts. We have to confess that. It is not naturally in our hearts. We have to pray, God, that we will have a love of the truth, that our minds, that our carnal, will be softened to accept the truth of the Lord. John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. Free, my brothers and sisters, from deception and from others around me and even self-deception within me. John 17, verse 17 says further, sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So my brothers and my sisters, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into a correct understanding of truth. This is why, my brothers and sisters, it is so important to appreciate what Jesus was saying in the parable of the 10 virgins found in Matthew 25. In Matthew 24, it tells us of all the deceptions that has ravaged mankind and will continue to do so with increasing intensity before Jesus comes. Matthew 25 now gives us the antidote to deception. The Holy Spirit plus the Word. The Holy Spirit plus the Word. And the Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. Now that is truth, whether palatable or unpalatable, whether popular or unpopular, whether agreeable or disagreeable, the Spirit of God will guide us. As we walk in the Spirit, we will learn in the Spirit. As we learn in the Spirit, we will grow in the Spirit. That is why, at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. Now, this is the introductory message, because I want to unfold before us the hallmarks. We need to know the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to go through those. The hallmarks. This first one we're looking at is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will guide you into all truth. He will not guide you into falsehood. We need to understand that, especially in this religious world in which we are living, where we are seeing all kinds of things being done in the name of the Spirit of God. But it does not bear the hallmarks of the Spirit of God. We need to understand these things. You know, Jesus said, as he was speaking in John 16, verse 12, to the disciples, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So if we let him, if we will permit him, he will guide us into all truths about ourselves. He will show us. He will guide us into all truth regarding our career. You want to know? The Spirit of God will guide you. Your education. If you really want to know, he will guide you into all truth regarding your business. He will guide you into all truth regarding a life partner. Do you believe that? He will guide you into truth, into what you ought to eat and drink. Do you believe that? We had a series regarding that not too long ago. Do you think that he will guide you into all truth as regards to how you dress? Do you? Do you? We need to trust the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful that everything is contained in his word. You want to know? It's contained in his word. I would encourage you to read it. And I will also encourage you to take and read for yourself. Now, I'm saying this to you personally, to take and read for yourself the Spirit of Prophecy. Did you hear what I said? Take it and read it for yourself. You're not asking what somebody else thinks about it. Take it and read it for yourself. You want to know what to start with? Start with the Desire of Ages. Read. See how the messenger of the Lord will draw you to Jesus, will point you to the Word, will lift up the cross, will show us the character of Jesus. I am telling you, Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, when I go, and it's important that I go. Because you see, Jesus couldn't be everywhere at the same time. He had limited himself by taking on human flesh. So he said, it's important that I go. And when I go, I will send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and he will abide with you forever. As we prepare ourselves to examine the hallmarks of the Spirit of God, let us prepare our hearts to embrace whatever he says, whatever he tells us, because he will never deceive us. He will never lie to us. And what we have in the Holy Spirit is a genuine person. May God grant unto each one of us the Spirit, the willingness